For that, help me to speak in a way that's interesting and clear, so that all of us together this morning might grow in our understanding of Jesus and how that works in our lives as we live them out here in Rocky. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was going to start this morning by talking about how awesome it is to be invited to something special. The excitement and the anticipation of getting all dressed up and meeting new people. I was going to talk about how good that is. But for me, it's not really. See, I don't like invitations. Well, I don't mind the invitation, I just don't like going to whatever it's inviting me to. Because I don't like getting dressed up and I don't like meeting new people. I cringe when I hear the words, "You're invited." My normal response to an invitation is, "Sure, just let me check with Rach first." And most of the times I don't say anything to Rach about it at all. Because, well, I just don't want to go. And yes, that is terrible and I should be ashamed of myself. But aren't there just too many things going on now? Too many invitations to be part of? Maybe I might be just growing old and grumpy, but it seems like there's always a new invitation to some fantastic event. Like on Facebook today, there's a community day at the Rescue Helicopter Shed, or a women's wellness expo, or for three easy payments of $133, you could have started a 10-week healthy habits program. And if you don't like any of that, there's also the psychic expo, or the scrapping away day. Seriously? A scrapping away day. I don't even know what it is, but I do know that you're invited. If you like getting your hands dirty, there was a working bee at the Kenrick Tucker Velodrome. And tomorrow there's even more stuff. All you have to do is click on the interested button and accept the invitation. But seriously, who would bother? How many people do you reckon would go to these things? I reckon most people are like me, and most people just want to stay home because they're sick and tired of being bombarded with invitations. But today, you and I are going to have a look at a parable about an invitation. And this invitation is a bit different to the ones we just looked at. This invitation is to a royal wedding. And that's not an invitation you get every day. So in our series on Matthew so far, called The King's Kingdom, we've seen as Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, masses of people came out to worship him as God's chosen king. And since then, he's been fighting with the people who won't recognize his crown. Jesus turned up to claim King David's throne. He's come looking for fruit from his people, but he's found nothing. And so he warns the guys trying to bring him down that they're in danger of missing out on the kingdom. Can you see that? What he says to them in verse 2. "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them, 'Come.' But they refused to come." The guys Jesus has been arguing with are the leaders of Israel. These guys that thought they'd automatically get into the kingdom because a long time ago they'd been invited to be part of it when God entrusted them with his word. But when this long-awaited king turns up, they reject him. So Jesus tells this story about another king who prepares a wedding feast for his son. And then he sends out the servants, his servants, to tell everyone who was invited, "Come and celebrate." But they refuse. Now, that's crazy, isn't it? They refuse. This is not a psychic expo or a mindfulness program. This is a royal wedding they were invited to, and no one could come. But this king Jesus is talking about is a patient and gracious king, and he doesn't want anyone to miss out on the celebration. It's almost like he's pleading with them in verse 4 as he sends out more servants and says, "Tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." See, when we plan an event like a wedding or a birthday, we can put a date and a time on the invitation. So everyone knows exactly what time to turn up and celebrate. But that wasn't the case in the first century. without power or refrigeration, and also having long distances to travel on foot, it was impossible to put a specific time on an event like this. And so what had normally happened is whoever was putting on the celebration would send out a first invite, sort of like a save the date. And then when everything was ready, they'd send a second invitation saying, come and celebrate, just like the king in the story has done. But as an invited person, it was your responsibility after you received the first invite to prepare yourself for the second one. You didn't plan a holiday or accept other invitations. You got yourself ready to go. But in the story, no one does. And seriously, that is crazy, isn't it? As much as I hate invitations, I'm thinking if you had the opportunity, who wouldn't go to a royal wedding? Kim Standen wasn't going to miss out. Kim's a young woman in the UK, and she didn't have the best of childhoods. But she's turned all that around, and now she helps other kids overcome adversity in their life. So when her boss, Neil, told her that they'd both been invited to Harry and Meghan's wedding last year, she was overjoyed. Kim said, I couldn't believe I'd been invited. To be given the opportunity to go to a royal wedding is just amazing. See, the offer for Kim and Neil was just too good to refuse. They knew that ordinary people like them would never get another invitation like this. Saying no didn't even cross their minds. But these guys in the parable, even after the third invitation, don't have a problem refusing the king. They don't even have to check with their wives first. They just flat out refuse. Pick that up with me from verse 5 when Jesus says, but they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. I had a conversation with a bloke recently about whether or not we can trust what's written in the Bible. And after about 2 hours, this is what he came up with. He said, I know God's calling me to believe in Jesus, but there's things in my life that I'm not ready to give up yet. See, he wants to live his own life and make his own decisions, and only when he's ready will he accept God's invitation. And that's just like the guys in the story, isn't it? They knew they'd been invited, and instead of getting ready, they just go back to work. Their own lives are more important than celebrating with the king. So they ignore the invite and go back to work. But friends, this parable's not just about an invitation. It's a warning as well. As compassionate and slow to anger as the king is, his mercy to everyone is not forever. He doesn't keep sending invites. And back in those days, an invite from the king was like an order. To refuse it was to defy the king. And to mistreat his servants, well, that was an act of war. And so the king had every right to reject and destroy these guys in the story. And he does. It's a sober warning for us not to ignore the invitation. But every cloud has a silver lining, doesn't it? What's bad news for some is great news for others. And that's what we see from verse 8 when the king says to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Those who continually reject the king eventually get rejected by the king. And now the king seems to change his focus, because the first people he invited were landowners and business people, people you would expect to see at a royal wedding. But when they refuse to come and celebrate with the king, he throws open the doors and invites everyone, ordinary, everyday people like you and I, both good and bad, people you just wouldn't expect to see at a royal wedding. Jesus is telling us it doesn't matter what you've been or done, you're invited to be part of God's kingdom. It seriously is an invitation that's just too good to refuse, especially for ordinary people like us. Thing is, though, our lives are so busy, and we get bombarded with so many invitations. It's hard to get excited about another one, isn't it? But see, that's because we have such a small picture of what we're being invited into. And we don't quite understand how church fits in at all. Sure, we all want to be part of God's kingdom. That's a no-brainer. Who wouldn't want eternal life? But a cleaning roster? Morning tea? Kids' church? Growth groups? They all sound a bit like a working bee at the velodrome, don't they? But friends, this is about something so much bigger than our own lives. God's not trying to rip us off. He's not trying to get his building clean for nothing. God wants us to accept this invitation and celebrate with him and his people now. Celebrate as we build one another up and encourage one another in our understanding of Jesus and how he served us. See, we think we can accept the invitation without going all in. We want to be welcomed into heaven when we die, but we don't really want to live for the king now. We're holding back because we don't want to give up everything and go all in. And that's what the next part of the parable is all about. Let's have a read of it and see what you reckon. From verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." So, as the king comes up to this guy and says, "Friend, where's your wedding clothes?" There's really only a few answers the guy could give. He could say, "I didn't have time to go home and get them," or, "I don't own any." And if he had given either of these responses, you get the feeling that the king would have given him some, because he calls him a friend, and everyone else has wedding clothes. But it seems like this guy has been caught up in the crowd. He came into the banquet because everyone else did. But when it came to getting ready for the king, he wasn't willing to take the next step. He didn't want to go all in. Maybe he thought he was good enough and didn't have to change, or he was just swept up in the crowd. Either way, this good and gracious king has him tied up and thrown out. And if you're anything like me, that should terrify you. Because I can think of heaps of times when I haven't wanted to take the next step. Times when I've held back because I didn't really want to change. And Jesus tells us this story as a warning. He was warning the Pharisees they were about to miss out on the kingdom they were expecting because they weren't ready for the king. And the trouble for us when we read warnings like this is they're so strong. They cut to our heart, because as we read them, we realize we're just like the guys in the story. We're guilty of ignoring the invitation, keeping ourselves busy with work, homes, and families. We prioritize these things over Jesus' invitation to meet together and serve each other, to meet together and build one another up for the king. So as we read a warning like this, it can leave us feeling guilty and full of fear because we focus on the punishment. And that just crushes our spirit. Friends, what we need to see from this passage is how awesome this invitation is. What a privilege it is for ordinary people like us to be invited into Jesus' kingdom. To be able to love and serve each other now without holding back. A few years ago, Rach and I got invited to join a growth group. And so each Wednesday afternoon, I'd grumble and complain and thinking of all the reasons why I shouldn't go. That was 6 years ago. And now some of the best friends we have are the people in that group. It's just awesome to pray and work out with them how we can best serve each other, the church, and the community we live in. To be able to watch each other grow and actively look for the next step they can take as people give up their time, money, and efforts to serve God's kingdom. Honestly, it's the most awesome thing I've ever been a part of. And I know growth groups aren't a silver bullet. They're not for everyone. But friends, this morning, we want you to consider what could be the next step you take as you get ready for the King. Whether it's joining a growth group or a service team or reading the Bible one-on-one with someone else, we want you to consider what could be your next step as you get ready for the King. Because we don't want you to miss out. We want you to experience how awesome this is too. And that's why here at Rocky PC, we're not going to stop urging you. And we're not going to stop inviting you to be a part of what God's doing here. And friends, we're not going to stop missing you when you turn down the invitation. Because seriously, this is way too good to miss out on. And we want you to be a part of it. Would you pray with me? Our good and gracious God, we do thank you. We thank you for this awesome invitation to spend eternity with you. Father, we know we've done nothing to deserve it, nothing that would make you love us. But we pray that as your Holy Spirit works in us, our hearts would be softened and that we might accept this awesome invitation and find real joy in taking the next step as we get ready for Jesus. Father, help us to go all in. And to delight in loving and serving each other, even when we can think of 1,000 reasons not to. Father, we pray that you would change us, because this invitation is too good to refuse. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.